Joining us now, Drew Dunn, the head golf professional at East Lake, hosting the Tour Championship. What's going on, Drew?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing awesome. How's preparations coming down there for the big Tour Championship?
It's great. We really dodged a bullet last week with the Hurricane Irma coming through here. It hit Atlanta pretty hard, but we were lucky here at the golf course. We just had a few trees down on the property that weren't really in any areas near what would affect play. So the rest of the city, you know, some people still have power out. We just really got a lot of debris on the golf course we had to clean up. So other than that, we've had great weather. It's been a little bit cooler the last week, but it's warming up. The last few days has been in the 80s, and I think it's going to be in the 80s all the way through next week, which is good for us. Get that grass growing.
Yeah, I mean, will it set up differently than it did last year for either the championship or the NCAA event you had late in the season? Or are we going to see a course that is very similar based on the weather you've had over the last 10 months?
You're going to see a very similar setup to we had last year. Last year, the golf course was in impeccable condition, and it's really there again this year. Greens are fantastic. Our rough is pretty brutal right now. That's all we've heard, people coming off the golf course talking about how hard it is to get out of the rough. So it's going to be definitely a challenge for the guys next week when they're here.
Yeah, and you guys flipped the nines last year for the Tour Championship, and you know what? We got a pretty good result. We had a very dramatic playoff for the FedEx Cup title, didn't we?
We sure did, and that's exactly what we wanted. The whole point of reversing the nines was to add a little bit of volatility and some drama coming down the stretch. Those holes, there's a lot more birdies and eagles and things like that in the last few holes, and we couldn't have been happier, you know, with the playoff with Kevin Chappell, Ryan Moore, and Rory McIlroy, and you know, Rory holing out on 16 and in regular play to kind of get in contention. That was exactly what we had in mind, and we hope that, you know, that excitement happens again this year.
Now remind our listeners, how do the members play it? Which way do the members play it?
So the members, basically last year before the Tour Championship, about a month before, we switched the nines and kind of got everybody's feedback on it, and everybody wanted to play the way the Tour plays it. So we have kept that order of play for our everyday play. The funny thing is that, you know, we do a few shotgun events and stuff like that, so I always have to remind everybody that has been here in the past and maybe not so recently that we switch the nines, most importantly when they're walking out to their holes. You know, we've had a few people who think they're walking to number 6, but they're actually walking to number 15. So that's been a little bit of a challenge this year. But other than that, everybody's happy to play it the way the pros play it.
Yeah, I'm sure the staff and the superintendent have to be reminded once in a while not to put, like, you know, closest to the pin on the par 5.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah, we try to be very mindful of that. I've been here for a long time, and it's every now and then I still will refer to number 1 as number 10 and vice versa. So language is a big part of it, but it's taken a long time to adjust to, but we're pretty much there now. We're all on the same page.
We're talking to our good friend Drew Dunn from down at East Lake Golf Club hosting next week's tournament, PGA Tour Championship. I'm curious as to, you know, how you guys – well, how do you sell the appeal of this? I mean, it's a playoff with big money. It's a 30-player field. What is it that people are coming out to watch? Are they coming out because does the money draw them? The idea that there's a, you know, $10 million at stake, is that an appeal for people? Is it that it's the best 30 players of the season? What is it you hear from the locals there that gets them most excited about hosting this tournament?
Well, I think it's all of that, what you just mentioned. Obviously, you know, somebody winning $10 million, usually in the past, whoever has won the Tour Championship wins the FedEx Cup as well. So you're talking about a guy walking away with, you know, $11.5 million. That definitely makes it interesting. The other great thing about it is that it's the 30 best players, the 30 guys who are playing the best right now. So the fan, you know who everybody is. It's all the big names. And then the PGA Tour really does a great job of providing a fantastic fan experience. As far as all the hospitality tents they have on the property, they have a area called the So Cool Zone, which is on the back nine near our island green, number 15. You know, they've got a shaded area where you can get out of the sun. The Georgia State Golf Association is over there. We actually have an actual one of our practice greens. We kind of mow it and roll it so that it's playing just like the tour greens on the golf course. And fans can go over there and roll putts and see what it's like. They've got a couple big video boards up where you can watch football games that are on. You can also watch the coverage of the golf tournaments if you just want to kick back and not walk around for a little bit. And then they got another area this year called the Peachtree Porch, which is near number 8 green and 9 tee, where they've got a bunch of local restaurants. Some of them famous chefs from Atlanta are going to be out there. You can get some food, walk out on the porch, watch everybody come hit into the number 8 and tee off on 9. So it's really just overall the excitement of the money and the players, but it's a great fan experience as well.
Yeah, so how do the fans handle this? I mean, you've only got 15 twosomes that are out on the golf course. Do a lot more people maybe go find a spot, you know, on a hole and then let all the groups come through and they maybe move? Or do people tend to follow groups around? I mean, what's kind of the arrangement that the fans go out there and try and accomplish?
You can really do either. And from talking to people, it's pretty much split 50-50. I know we've got a few of our regulars and members who every year they come and they have their spot and they just post up and watch every group come through. And then there's other people who are here to see a specific player, and they want to watch that player's entire round, and they will follow them hole by hole. And you really can do that pretty easily out here at East Lake. We've got a lot of our holes are next to each other, kind of back and forth. So you can watch a player really without having to move too often if you're trying to watch just a specific guy play his entire round.
So, Drew, if you had the luxury of treating this as a fan experience, where would you be and what would you do?
You know, I would be that Peachtree Porch that I talked about,
yep.
Number 8. That would be a good spot for me. You can get a cocktail and some good food and sit there. Historically, number 8 is one of the hardest holes on the golf course. I think there was 9 double bogeys there last year and 3 categorized as others, which are triple bogeys or worse. And then the tee shot on 9, it's 230-yard par 3. So that would be a good spot. And then obviously I'd want to be near number 18 when everybody's coming down to the wire. We've got a new grandstand where you can watch players warm up on the driving range because it's right next to our 18th hole. And then you can turn around and watch everybody come into 18. So those would be my two favorite spots for sure this year.
Well, and of course, we would love all of our listeners here in the Carolinas to make their way down to Atlanta to watch this. But if they don't and can't and they're watching on TV, you know, this is your course. You're there every day. Where can they expect to see the guys score, and where can we maybe see some carnage?
So the front 9 plays a lot more difficult than the back 9. So number 8 is going to be the hardest hole. Again, that's where there's going to be the biggest opportunity for big numbers. That's the hole. It used to be number 17, which was made famous when Bill Haas hit his shot out of the water and got up and down and saved par and went on to win the FedEx Cup. So other than that, number 1 and number 14 are going to be tough holes. Number 14 is a par 5 for our membership, but they play the PGA Tour plays it as a par 4. And then number 6 and number 18, both par 5s, are the easiest holes on the golf course. They yield the most birdies and a few eagles here and there. So that's where you're going to want to look for carnage and for birdies.
Yeah, so with the 9s being flipped, did old now 8 and 9, did old 17 and 18, did those statistics change in terms of the difficulty since they were in the middle of the round instead of at the end of the round?
They actually did not.
Okay.
Old number 17 was one of the hardest holes, and last year, you know, looking at the shot link data, it still played as the hardest hole. And then number 9, I think, was about 8th difficult. And I think that's where it was kind of historically. So when we switched the 9s, I think I said it last year when I was on the show, that number, it used to be number 6, is now number 15, our Island Green. You know, the tour player said, that's not that intimidating of a shot when you know you have 12 holes after that. If you hit it in the water and make a bogey or double,
right,
you have room to make up for it. But now that there's only 3 holes left after that, if you're tied for the lead or have a one-shot lead, there's a lot more pressure on that shot.
So as you look at the field and it shapes up, and I'm sure we all have a wish list of guys we hope are going to show up at our place. And, you know, when they cut the field to 30, there are some guys who you would love to see there who you think might play well on the course who aren't going to be there. But as you look at how it is likely to set up, who is playing, you know, whose game is set up well for East Lake right now?
Well, I chose him last year when you guys asked me, and I'm going to choose him again, even though I was wrong last year. I think Jordan Spieth You know, he either plays really well here or he doesn't do so well. And the way he's playing right now, I think he's going to be the favorite. You have to hit the fairway here. He hits about 60% of his fairways, which is plenty. You're not going to have a good look at birdies. You're going to be trying to save a lot of pars if you're hitting out of the rough the way it is. So I would go with Jordan Spieth. And then another guy I'm keeping my eye on this week is Stuart Sink, who is a member of ours here. He actually won the Payne Stewart Award this year. He came in somewhere around 50 or 51 into this week, but he's playing really well. I think he's tied for six. He's 9-under through two rounds. We would love to see him back here. So I hope he has a really good day today and tomorrow, and then he makes the Tour Championship. And he's played this golf course so many times that if he gets here, I think he'd be a favorite as well.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. I've always said that I thought Eastlake would set up really good if they somehow managed to change the Tour Championship to a 32-player match play event. I thought that would be, it's a great match play course too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That would be interesting to see that. We do have a college event later in the year in October that does a little bit of match play, and that's always exciting to watch. But I haven't heard that discussed. That would be an interesting thing to see if they would ever consider doing that.
So let me take you out to your practice facility and some of your teaching rounds that you do. I mean, are people in Atlanta any smarter than they are in Charlotte? Do people in Atlanta come in and say, hey, I really want to get better at my short game? Or are they just like people here in Charlotte, they just want 10 or 20 extra yards on their drives?
I am seeing a few more people here and there that want short game lessons, but you're right. Most people, you know, don't put their priorities where they need to when they practice. You know, for me, being a golf professional, you always hear if you want to play less golf, get in the golf business. That's not necessarily true. It kind of fluctuates for me throughout the year, but when I don't have a lot of time to play or practice, the one thing I'll do if I have 20 minutes is take a couple wedges and go out to our chipping green and just hit all different kinds of shots. It just keeps you fresh and keeps your touch around. You know, if you go a long time without playing, that's the best way to get your touch back, is just work on your short game shot. So if you've got an hour to practice, that's great. Make sure you divvy it up kind of everything. But if you don't have a lot of time to hit balls, chipping and putting will do wonders for your game more than going out and just banging balls for 20 minutes.
Well, you know, that you raise a good point. I'm curious how you would value a playing lesson, going out with someone and playing a round of golf. Let's say it takes 4 hours. Is that the same value as 8 hours on the range, 16 hours on the range? What's the value of a playing lesson?
Value of a playing lesson mostly is when I do those is course management. People really don't think about how they're going to play that hole. You know, you get up, a better player needs to look at where the pin is and know where he wants to be off the tee and what side of the fairway he wants to favor. When you get yourself in trouble, how are you going to get out of it? Don't always try to be the hero. So course management, and that's one thing the PGA Tour players are unbelievable at, is they have a strategy for every hole, depending on the wind, depending on where the pin is. You know, for us, number three is a shorter par four here. I think it's like 391 yards downhill. And if you look at the shot link data, when the pin is on the front of the green, 29 of the 30 guys last year hit an iron or hybrid off the tee so that they had a full iron into that green. And when the pin is on the back of the green, 30 of the 30 guys hit driver or three wood and had kind of a little punch, you know, 50, 60-yard shot into that pin. So that's the value of a playing lesson, is you can get with somebody who's a better player, a professional, and kind of teach you how to work your way around the golf course and think through it.
Well, Drew, we really appreciate you coming on and giving us a little preview. Have a great event next week, and we'll look forward to watching on TV.
Thank you, guys. It's always great to talk to you.
All right. Thanks a lot.